Rashi quotes the Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev was a who nar is bnei Yehovah's bnei Buka Mashiach. What is meaning who nar? Shaharayis and Maisa Nairik, the stock in the Pharaoh, the Mashmash Mehem, the Kadesh Yehmira and Yot Yotta. So that the Medrash is condemning him, that he did the wrong thing. So the Torah doesn't, the Medrash doesn't mean that we have to walk around like slobs with down shoes and torn trousers and long hair and unshaven and unkempt and dirty and without taking a bath and so on. But on the other hand, you have to dress neatly and nicely and you have to be clean and so on. But you shouldn't stand in front of the mirror and dress yourself up a lot. That's for Shkot. So the Medrash condemns Yehoshua that because he was a little too mocked on his on grooming himself, on his dress and so on, so that's why Eishes Potiphar fell in love with him, and that's why he had the trouble with her. In fact, one of the Mephoshim says on the Gemara in Sofa that when he was about to sing with Eishes Potiphar, Eishes Minyan Shabbai Shom Baboy, so the Gemara darshans on the post in the Medizan, Eishes Minyan Shabbai, there was nobody from the members of the household there, but his father was there. But Muzi, you can show love in the mirror for Lo Bachalom. And he showed the image of his father through the window. So I didn't see the image of his father through the window. So I took it through the window in the chalon. He wasn't there. The angel here wasn't there. He was in Eretz Canaan, in Palestine. So why did it be the chalon? A lot of the Mephoshim on the Gemara says that chalon means the mirror. That when he was about to sin, so he was dressing himself up nicely in order to prepare for his reina girlfriend over here. So when he was looking in the mirror, he looked at himself. And the Medrash says on the Orpah, the beginning of Eilat told us Yaakov Yosef and Shrayas Eishonah, and he was a Ben Yikunim. What if they told us Yaakov was Yosef? Because he looked like Yaakov, and he said Ben Yikunim Shezid Yikunim Shalom Dom of Shalovi. So his face looked the same as Yaakov's, and he looked in the mirror, so he saw his image, so he reminded himself of what his father looked like. That's what it means, that the mirror is over Bachalon. Bachalon doesn't mean the window, it means in the mirror. So the Medrash is condemning him, that it's not right, that you're not supposed to, men are not supposed to look in a mirror to dress themselves up so much. Shaila and the Gemara, that maybe looking in a mirror is, we discussed, maybe looking in a mirror is Loyobash, Yeres and Rabisha. Some of the Rishonim say that the Zman HaZeh is no longer so, because men do look in a mirror. But it says Chaver in the night, it says Hamina Chachamim don't. Hamina Chachamim try to avoid looking in a mirror. Gemara in the first parak in Shabbos condemns, we're learning Shabbos this year, Gemara condemns Yaakov Avinu for his raising of his children. He saw the Habas Yasin the Pope one of the events he threw him he loved. He also loved son of Pasim, he made him a special baby. But Yerachot, he also had Avinu Kelach, but he used to listen to the Yerachot God of Yisholam, but because of the fact that the father treated Yasin with special treatment over and above. He brought all of his children nice clothes, but because he treated Yosef specially, he brought him a son of Tassim. That's why the other brothers were jealous, and that's why he told him to Mitzrayim, and that's why they had to go down to Mitzrayim. So the whole goal of Mitzrayim was all due to the fact that Yaakov didn't raise the children properly. So the Gemara says, we're all the Marishan, all of them saying they're not done. A person should not be Mishana. He shouldn't differentiate between one child and the other. He has to treat them all equally. So either love them all equally or hate them all equally, whatever, but he's not allowed to treat one with special preference over the other. Have to be equally strict with all of them, because the children feel it. No, children, when they're young, they feel that the parents are, children harbor grudges against the parents for years and years. Then they go to psychiatrists later at the age of 60. Why at the age of 10 or 15, whatever, the mother was so kind to that child and not that. Either the other child is dying from cancer. So of course the mother had to go to the hospital every day. So what did he want? No. Child at the age of 10 doesn't realize that the brother who's dying from cancer needs a little more treatment than them. So that's, you have all kinds of mishigayim in this world, but a lot of the mishigayim are based on the fact that the parents don't explain to the children, they don't show the children, they don't demonstrate to the children that they love them more equally. They have to, if they can't, then let's say one child needs more attention than the other. All the kids can do the homework by themselves and one of them don't. So they need help from the parents. The parents have to explain to the other children that they love them all equally. Not that they only do the homework with this child because they love the child and they don't love the other. Let's explain we love everybody because we all have to help out this child because he needs more help than us. It's very important. You see, when you be a parent, you have to be very careful. Yosef had two chaloyim. He had one chaloyim of the stars, the kachodim, one chaloyim of the bundles of the grain. So the brothers were very angry at him. I remember years ago when Rabbi Lichtenstein got engaged, so there was a kiddush in yeshiva. I don't remember whether he was going to get engaged or the yoshi. I remember Rabban Kalvashi came in specially for Shabbos. He stayed in yeshiva and he spoke. But Kalvashi was sick at that time, so he didn't come in. It was right after his operation. And Rabban Kalvashi was here. He gave a whole brush on him. But he said about his brother Yoshi. He was talking about his brother Kalvashi. He said that many other people are jealous of his brother and say that his brother has two dreams. So he has a dream that Salvation the Rav is known for the fact years ago that he was very involved in philosophy, about 10 years of his life. And the rest of his life, including those 10 years old, so he was very involved in learning faith. And for a 10-year period, he was very involved in philosophy as well. The people had kindness against Rav Salvation that he had two dreams. And Rav Chaim only had one dream. Rav Chaim only had the dream of learning. And where did Rav Salvation get the other dream from? So he said, this is the kindness that the brothers had against Yeshua. Where did you get the two dreams? Father, Yaakov Avinu only had one dream. Alokam Olam Yerdenbog, and he only dreamt of angels. Yosef had a spectacular dream in addition to the dream of the stars, the heavenly dream. So Rav Anko Rechik said that it's not true. That his brother Yosef, like Yosef HaTzal, doesn't have an additional dream over and above what Rav Chaim had. He just broke the one dream into its two component parts. So just like Yankov Avinu, Yankov Avinu had a dream. Tula Mutta Barta, the Roshan Agi Hashemayma, the ladder started on the ground and ended up in heaven. So he said, Chaim had all one big dream, and his brother, Al-Salveshi, the Rav, broke it down. He had one dream, the halacha l'kul, and the philosophy l'kul, and everything was contained within our time. And he went ahead to do the whole very interesting Rosh. And then he said at that time that Yosef had a certain part in a coat of many colors, and that's why the brothers were jealous. Why? So he said, Agimara, that on the stock of the Keshet, ain't of chaos, that if a person stares at the rainbow, his eyes will become dim. And what does it mean, stares at the rainbow? It's supposed to be a Jewish king in the rainbow somehow. The rainbow is supposed to represent the costume of God to be on them, and you know, he's great, he's not going to help him in the world, but he's not going to destroy the world anymore. The simple reason of the matter is, that it's not rocket, that if you stare at the Keshet, if you're staring at the Shekhinah and as a punishment for this, then the rival becomes in because you don't have cover for the Shekhinah. So he said, Aber HaDrash, that a Hamasak of a Keshet, if you look, if you study carefully a person who is multifaceted, multicolored, and he excels in so many different areas, but ain't of chaos, and you become very jealous of him. So your eyes will become not dim, instead your eyes will be, you'll turn green from envy, so to speak, and you'll be jealous of that individual. That's why everybody's jealous of my brother Yosef. Because he has this kind of thought, and he excels in this, and he excels in that. It's a very interesting question. Did he say a word about the customs? What about the customs and the future problem? When Yosef had the dream that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars are bowing down to him, so the father got angry. What are you talking about? Can the mother bow down to you? The mother is not alive anymore. So it's ridiculous. But Rashi goes to the Medrash, and that's what he means, screaming at Yosef in public in front of all the other brothers, so they should think that the father is angry at him. But really in his heart he understood that the dream was referring to Bilhah, who had raised Yosef from the time that his mother had died. Others point out not so, that the Gemara says in the Melech Perek and Brachos, Rashi in the Melech Perek and Brachos points out, Ein Chalom Lod Van B'Tayim. So Rashi quotes the Mokra, how did the Gemara know that? Ein Chalom Lod Van B'Tayim. So the Mokra quotes other students. And Rashi quotes this Kosher. It's not the way Rashi on Kumish quotes the Medrash, that Inkal refers to his stepmother, so to speak.
Especially during Rashi,
Rashi
was older than the same
Hebrew,
he mentioned
Ein Chalom in the same Hebrew. Yeah, Gufa Rashi on the same, yeah. The two different things, two opposite things, right. Whether that part of the Nebuah was Ram B'Tayim, Inkal, or wasn't Ram B'Tayim. Shlomo Lazona has an interesting comment on the Chaloim of the Sarah Mashkin at the end of the Sedra. Why was the Sarah Mashkin nervous? The Sarah, if he didn't know how to interpret his dream. He was carrying bread on his head, three baskets of bread, and the birds are eating the food from the basket. He didn't know how to interpret that. Good, bad, otherwise, he didn't know what it's supposed to represent. But the other guy, so he didn't know, so he was aggravated. But the other guy, the Sarah Mashkin, he had a wonderful dream. People are screaming at the grapes, he's making the grapes, and he gives it to Parah, and he says, but didn't he understand that he's going to get a job back? Isn't that what I mean? The other guy, he's carrying the loaves of bread, and the birds are eating the bread. His original job was to serve the bread to the king. Now he's serving it, but the birds are eating it, so what does that mean? He's going to get a job back, he's not going to get a job back. But the other guy has a halal, he's doing the same thing that he always needs to do. So what's the time? What was he nervous about? Shlomo was only close in the state of being on Shlomo. Well, because you should tell that at the beginning he starts off with Chumash. So in the first 10 pages he has things from his father and then he has his own up on. So he quotes from his father a comment on his part. He says that, yeah, he knew he was going to get his job back, but he wasn't going to be killed, but he didn't know whether he was going to get his job back. But he was the Sarah Mashkin, he was the butler who would serve the king the wine, and he would work, he would be demoted, and he would have to work in the kitchen to make the wine. These are two different jobs. The guy who's the butler usually is not the cook. The cook is usually a fat guy with a shirt hanging out, with sneakers, whatever. He doesn't wear a tuxedo, whatever, he's not dressed fancy. He doesn't have the opportunity to go speak to the king to bring him the food and to shmooze and to fracture. So they're two different jobs. So he knew that he wasn't going to get killed, because in his dream he visualized the way he's getting back a job, but he saw two different jobs which don't belong to the same person. He saw a job that he may become a cook to squeeze out the grapes to make wine, or he may get back his original job. But he knew either this is right or that's right. One is right and the other one is wrong. But he knew Ein Chalom Velo Dvamten, but he didn't know which one was his Dvamten. So that's why he was aggravated. He wasn't as aggravated as the other guy. The Saros was really terrified. He didn't know what to make of his dream at all. The Saramashkin felt he was really nervous. He didn't know whether he was going to be demoted to become a cook or he was going to be this. So that's how Shlomo was only close in his father, the interpretation of the Tosfos. Yaakov tells him that the Yaakov shot in the dream is that he's going to get his job back. The Shikha Vashikhal Kanach. The Tosfos comes to the Yaakov Kamish Patharishma Shahayitha Mashke. And the squeezing out of the grapes, that's the part that's going to fail. And if I want to learn to fail, that's that part. I said, why was it shown to him? There must be a shock. Why did he run the tail shot?
So he said,
and now he's asking, do me a favor. Why did he say twice, choose the Chartani, to his Chartani al Paro? But in the Pasha, he says, Pasha Pshat, the Chartani, you should remember me. He's the Chartani. And mention, he's the Paro, get me out of here. Tell the king to get me out of the jail. The Chartani means remember me, his Chartani means mention me. So if Shlomo was only close to my father, it suggests to Pshat that choose the Chartani was part of the interpretation of the Chaloi. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show you a halal with two parts that were contradictory, that you're becoming a cook and you're becoming back again the butler, and you had to ask somebody which part is deep and which part is on the table? In order that you should have to ask me, that you should later on when you'll see that you got the right job, like I interpreted, you're going to become back again a butler, and you're not going to become demoted to become a cook. But that should cause you to remember me. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed you the on the table, that you should have to ask. You should be nervous, you should have to ask me, and I'm in prison. You should remember me later on. Jews are Chartani, it's part of the interpretation of the dream. And then, the his Chartani, that was his Bakosh. But not that everything was Bakosh. That's what he suggests.
Now, how come the religious and the dictator,
Joseph's level of his thought,
natural
communal,
trust him?
Joseph
interpreted
the dream
of Hashem, and the dream said that he should remember him.
Yes, it was Mechuyah to do a little Hishtag, but to ask him to do something to him, but he shouldn't have relied on it so much. And that's what he was doing. So, That's okay. You can ask yourself to put in the big budget. Then he really was banking on it that he's going to put in the big budget. He's very reliant on that. He shouldn't have put so reliant. That's what we've been established.
The dream is dead.
This is going to help. And this is going to help him. And it did help him, but the stuff did help him. But he shouldn't have relied so much on it.
Maybe
he should
have just told
him
the other part of the
Sound of Earth. Why he wanted to give the whole shot? He wanted to run the temptations open. Why give the whole shot to the dream? And that was part of the dream. Okay. Why did I have to show you this? And literally, you should keep me in mind.
Yeah, but that was the only
interpretation.
You didn't ask me
for the Sound of Earth. But that was a true interpretation. You didn't just say it because you wanted to get free. I don't know, not necessarily. No. Interesting, some say on the last passage, it says, below Zachata Mashkamis Yosei Fayishka Chaylu. Isn't that a repetition? So Rashi says, it's in the Medrash, below Zachata Mashkim Bo Bayom, Fayishka Chaylu Liyacha Mikan. Medrash is badly the kasha, why it's repetitive. So some sefer suggests an interesting interpretation on the last passage. Salder Hapshat. Lo zachata amashkinus Yosef, he forgot all about Yosef, but Yosef didn't forget about him. Yosef was relying on him. And then Kaufman was relying on him, so he had to sit in jail for 2 years. So Baruchon wanted him to do his shtar, was to ask the amashkin to get him out of here, to interpret the dream, to ask him, but not to rely on him so much. Then, after a while, by Yishka, hey, when Yosef finally forgot about relying on him, then by him he takes some time, and then he got out of it. It's told him that you rely on the God of Adam, when you shouldn't have relied on him, then you have to sit in jail. By Yishkacheu, when Yosef forgot about the Tzaron Ashkin, then he got his Yeshua. There's such a medrash, there's an interesting medrash on this week's parsha about that. Because when Reuben came back to the boar, and he wanted to kill Yosef, so Reuben said, put him in the boar, and then Reuben went away. And then Yehuda said, let's sell him to the Tzaron Yishmael. After they sell him, then Shimei comes back to the boar. Reuben comes back to the book. But Yashim Reuben al Abba Behinei and Yashim Abba Yikra is the Gadol. He rips him to Gadol. So the Medrash says that if it's, and then right after this it says that he writes that Yer Yehuda may Esecha when he has children. So the Medrash has a comment over here. That Yankit, everybody's busy doing something. Yankit Avinu is crying his head off that his son was eaten up by a wild animal. They didn't find the dead body. They only found the garment. So he said not that he was killed, he was eaten up. The wild animal ate up his body with the bones and everything, didn't leave anything. He's crying his head off, he has no son. And Yehuda is doing his Aesik, and Reuben is doing Shub, everybody's doing something else. And what's the Baruch Shalom doing? The Baruch Shalom is having, the Baruch Shalom is preparing Mashiach. The Baruch Shalom is having Yehuda have his children, and the new children, Er, Einan, Shelo, Tomor, he's going to start to have Beit HaMashiach. Mashiach is going to be a descendant from going to come out of this son. So some of the Parshim say, I'm not Medrash, but that's what the Kabbalah Medrash is driving at. That Mashiach is not going to come and have a whole build-up, and going to prepare a Mashiach campaign. We're going to crack up the person to be Mashiach and put literature and advertising newspapers and have on television and telephone and radio and everything. It's not going to work. We're going to work in one direction, and Baruch Shalom is going to work in a different direction. Mashiach is going to come to Hesach Hadash. It's a Pesach. The Pesach says, Mikach Tav Tzemach Shnoi, and Mikach Tav Yitzchak. His name is going to be Tzemach. Mashiach's name is going to be, we're going to call him Tzemach, not that, I mean, when he's going to have the gift, we're going to call him Tzemach. Means we're going to call him Tzemach because Mikach Tav Yitzchak is going to come from Unta Derech, as the Yiddish expression means. He grows from nowhere. He's going to grow up from nowhere. He's going to be, the Rambam writes in the Gerus Tzemach, I think. He's going to be an unknown figure. Right, that's what he says, Tzemach 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 Tzemach. And the Rambam writes that the Mashiach is going to be an unknown figure. He will be previously an unknown figure. He will be a person who is unknown before. Why? Because that's what the Rebbe Shlomo wants. That's his plan. That the Yeshua is going to come in a way that the people didn't expect it at all. In fact, Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky adds on, in fact, in his comments on this week's Seder, by and Thomas gives birth to the twins. So it says that the Mialedis was interested in noticing which one was born first. What's the big deal? Who's born first? By the Jews, yes, and who's born first? Who gets Krishna? By the Goyim, Rashi comments on the Gemara at the end of the first, that by the Goyim, Abayim Yerush Yisavi, Afi Yerush Yisavi, by Rashi says, the son and the daughter get equal Yerusha. But he's right, the son of the daughter get equal, and the chor does not get tishlan. All the children get an equal share. So these are all going over here. So what's the significance of knowing who was the first one shot? So he says it would appear from the pasuk as if they somehow felt that the Mashiach is going to come, the child of Yehuda is going to lead to the malchus of Mashiach. And that's the way it did turn out later on. So which ones that he thought that the chor is going to be the one to carry over the malchus? Yehuda was chosen as the melech, but Yosef Shevet and Yehuda, and his chor is going to carry over the malchus from him. So that's why the Mialetis was interested in remembering which one is his chor. So it's Batika Hamialetis, Batik Shal Yosef Shem Lenin, Zeh Yosef Shem. He's the firstborn, with the great excitement and expectation that the malchus is going to go to this one, and Mele, the Mashiach, is going to come from him. And then it turns out that it wasn't so. He pulled his hand back in, the hand with the Shoni was pulled back in with the Rambam Basil Talam, and then the other one came out, Terah, and then the Malchus of the Dove came from Terah, the unexpected one. But that's apparently a common theme in different Midrashim. They son of Sukkim and Navi. Semach Shmo, Mitach Al Yitzchon. So the Mashiach will come the Hesach Hadash, will come unexpected. Not because we're going to have a Cholon, someone has some, the Kubel had a dream that Mashiach had gone, come Ashkash, this and this, is going to be a war, and this and this. And the Russian seems to say it's not going to happen like that. It's going to come at the most, the time that no one ever thought it was going to come. Why does it have to be? I don't know. It sounds like we're not supposed to rely on our Cheshbein. That we're supposed to rely on the Ben Shalom. Ben Shalom wants that we should daven to him and place our full reliance in him, not to rely on both of them. He picked out an individual who's very promising, very talented, and very intelligent, and some want him to be Mashiach. That's not for us to be stopped. The Martin the first parak himself has a plow that's looking at Benim Nizotis. And the first one has how come Yaakov of Inner Senses from Yerzeh to fulfill Kibirah, so how come later on Yerzeh was quite Nizot? Looking at Benim Nizot, and he was Nizot. So the Gemara says that there is an exception to the rule. If you have Shteh Hazeh Kashan, it's obviously here it goes Shteh Hazeh. It's a halacha. Whenever Shteh Hazeh, so whenever it's a miyut ha-motzri. Halacha is when you have a miyut, when you have a robe with a miyut ha-motzri against it, that's a weaker robe than if you have a robe with a miyut shein ha-motzri against it. So those of on Yerudeya will remember that in the beginning of Yerudeya, before the Rambam, who makes the distinction on the level of the Rabbana. So whenever there's a miyut ha-motzri against the robe, then the din is of the Haskini, you're not supposed to rely on that rug, you're supposed to be voided. Check it out and try to find out what the facts are to be voided. Unless you can be voided, then you rely on the rug. But whenever you only have a mere chain of muscle, then you don't even have to try to check it out at all. That's not what Meshach saying is, if you only check for the traces on the lung, you only check for a stirfus on the ray, you don't check for anything else. Why? There's a possibility that there were 1,001 traces, but the other traces, the Ramban says, are mere chain of muscle. And the Tirchas and the Rei are Miyotam Motzim. Sometimes, as Chaveshi pointed out, sometimes the other stages are also Miyotam Motzim. Some seasons of the year, pointed out that in the springtime, I think he said, and the young calves, it's very common that they have nails in their belly that puncture the intestines. Because the calves graze outside, and they always, and the farmers bang nails into the fences, and then the dumb behemoths have no circle, so they swallow the nails, and the nails go in the belly, and they go through the intestines, and they puncture holes in the intestines. So Rashi said that if you have to check for the Tzirchas and the Rei, the Ramban, because you have to check why, because that's a Miyut HaMotri, and how much are using, so he said it's about 14% frequency, so he said in the springtime on the young pears, it's more than 14% that they have punctured infections because of the nails. So you have to check for that rest. Nishkan Alokha Majimitin, he can say. So Nishkan Alokha Majimitin, that you have to check the Tzirchas and the Rei. Amanda, because that's a Miyut HaMotri, and the rest are not Miyut HaMotri. So what percentage does it have to be? How high a meal does it have to be that it should be called Miyut HaMotzi? We don't know exactly, but Tzirchas and the Rei are around 14%. But if anything is that percentage or higher, that certainly calls it Miyut HaMotzi. So that Ramban that is only on a level of the Rabbana. So I should thought that maybe it's a Dindaraisa. The Ramban has this point. The Ramban has it in the Chidush and not in the Mohammed in the beginning of Chulin. And it came up word to word, the whole Ramban, except for one word. And one of the two, I forgot which one. One of the two, he writes that it's only the Rabbana. And the other one, he writes the whole Shkutu Torah without writing that it's only the Rabbana. So Asarechi thought that that should be a Dindaraisa, this distinction between the Amir Tamot and Amir Shenemotu, that the Amir Tamot, you have to be Bodhi for Hatzilah. By Amir Shenemotu, you don't even have to bother being Bodhi. He thought that that perhaps should be a Dindaraisa. In Shulchanot they quote the other line in the Ramban where he has the other one. It's not the same thing word for word, with very slight variations, and this is one of the slight variations. And one of the two it says the Seir said Tonid Rabban. So even though there perhaps the Tonid Rabbanon, generally assumed the Shulchanot said Tonid Rabbanon, but here is their Isa. The Gemara says that this is their Isa. That when you have a Shluch and Mitzvah, and in Yochim, usually you say that whenever there's a suffix Tatana, even if the rogue is that there's no Tatana, it's only a Hashash Racha, if there's only a Miyud chance of a Tatana, so that's considered a suffix Tatana, and you have to worry about it. What happens if it's such a far-fetched news that people are not worried? So we're not worried. It's not a suffix Tatana. What happens if some people are worried, some people are not worried? But for those who are worried, it's called a suffix Tatana. For those who are not worried, it's not called a suffix Tatana. But what happens if it's a Miyud, Sheino Moscow is a new Sheino Moscow, it's only a 5% chance. Now there's a Sakana, and the person is worried about it. But then it is called the Sakana. What happens if he's doing a Bar Mitzvah? That's exactly what the Bar Mitzvah is. If Sheino Moscow is doing a Bar Mitzvah, then you're not supposed to worry about it. That's what it means. Shluch HaMitzvah, then you're joking. But if it's Shriah HaZek, if it's a new Tam Moscow, and you're nervous about it, the guy's a daredevil, and he's not worried about the 15% chance of Sakana. Sakana. It's not called the Suffolk Sakana. If he is nervous about it, then even the Maka Mitzvah he has to worry. But if it's only, let's say, 5% Suffolk Sakana, but then the Maka Mitzvah he's not supposed to worry about it, and Shalom the Maka Mitzvah, if he's worried, then it's called the Suffolk Sakana. So that's it, isn't that right?
And so
is Mitzvah that we can give it to the Mitzvah? The father asked him to take care of it to me.
Didn't
he
give a
message
to
Abraham
when he told me that
he came
to visit
Yaakov
and
Akiva
and
Yehovah? To do an errand. The father asked him to do an errand. He wants him to go see how the daughter's daughter, how she's getting over, and come back and tell me what the story is. How my behemoth, how my investment, how my children, how's the business going? But my father sends me to his business office to check that everything is okay and come back and give me a report. If not, just keep it out of it.
Service
for the father. Let's keep it out of here. If the father tells me what I should major in and what I should do for a living, whom I should marry and where, which university I should go to, that's not keep it out of here. That's not serving to the father. He's giving me an answer, but that's not keep it out of here. But some folks call that that's Mora, and others call that it's not stupid, it's not Mora, it's nothing. I'm not looking for this to say, it's my body. He's not looking to spend money on sending me to the university, that's not his choice. I want to go to Harvard, and he wants me to go to Shiva College. And he says, I don't want you to go to Harvard. So I say, no, I want to go. I don't have to listen to me. He doesn't have to pay. He's not looking to spend the money, he's going to Harvard. But I want it. He doesn't want it.
So if you go to his father, what is the
No. So the Gemara says that he wasn't supposed to, he shouldn't have.
Shouldn't
have gone in the first place. Shouldn't have gone in the first place. Why did the brothers plan to kill him? It's not law of Hamisa. What kind of business is this? The famous comment that Sforna has, they considered him a raider. Somehow they thought that he was out to get them. I saw the Ragachava writes in his sentence. Gone from the Ramachava and Sumas. Ramachava writes on this topic that they felt that he was a Novi Asheka, Kalonis. He was interpreting with Kalonis that he's going to be the king. They thought he was a Novi Asheka. But I think it's generally assumed, like the Swana said, that they felt that he was out to get them somehow. He had a din of Arayas. That's why it's interesting the comment in the Sefer of Din Azov on this topic. He says that Reuben said, come, let's not kill him. Don't I can not finish? Let's throw him into the boar. What are we going to do? How long are they going to leave him in the boar? Indefinitely. Are we going to starve to death? So what did he accomplish over here? Yes. So the simple shot in the passage is that he planned to save him. But what did the brothers think? The brothers thought that he wasn't going to save him.
He was going to
leave him. The Gramatika makes it better. So the Rebbe Azov says, we can't mock her, the children are very rush. There's a, in Shulchanot they quote this, the Gemara says in the end of Bracha is that a mosul is dina kiroides. You're allowed to kill a mosul because he has a din like a raid. What do you mean you're allowed to kill a mosul? If a person is actively engaged in Rebbe Azov, he's about to kill someone, so then the mosul is nita not kill him enough, so you can kill him outright. What if he's a master? Master, if he's actively engaged in the mystery right now, he can shoot him on the spot. He's not actively engaged in the mystery, it's just that we know that he has the habit, he has the plan to matzah somebody to the government. So then the Rosh has a tshuva where he quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel, halacha l'maaseh, that you're not permitted to kill a matzah, you're just permitted maridim v'lo malim, you're just permitted to do grammar here. That's the Lashon HaGemara in Abed Zvon, that's what was. He says that a matzah, please, that's a line, that a matzah is maridim v'lo malim. So the Rabbeinu Hananel is quoted by the Rosh saying, maridim only means to be married him to cause grammar schism and not to do Rishitha Diyadai. So what's the deal with the deal from the Lashon HaGemara? How do you know? So the Rebbein HaZav suggests that maybe it's based on this process. But it says, it's not lawful on these on the Spano and Turkish because they thought that he had to be like a monster, like a raider. Somehow they thought that he was out to get them. And then Reuben said, Lo Nakan and Nafesh, he's not actively engaged in a Rebbein now, it's just that he plans to do Rebbein in the future sometime. But true, the monster is being a raider. But still, it's only permissible to do grammar school. Aye, the Gemara says in Shabbos in Banan Adlikin that they put him into a bor. A bor, they came by my mama, and the Hoshma Krab in the Eshbo. So that's Mamish. But the Pashim Shad says they didn't see it. That's how the Ramban says on Chumash. They didn't. The Ramban quotes that Medrash and he says they didn't see it in the Hoshma Krab. They would have seen it, so what's the difference? So you throw him into the bor and the Hoshim bite him. Yeah, crowd and bite them or you kill them near them. It's the same thing. So obviously they didn't see. In fact, that's how the Dolph interprets the Pshat and the Gemara in the second parak in Kaman Abikin, the second parak in Shabbos. The Gemara has the same Andama as two members, one after the other, that seems to be unrelated. So Rashi says, Anah Hanam, they're absolutely, totally unrelated, but because it's the same Andama, Rasplaini, Bishem Rasplaini, it's an unusual combination. That this person, the name of that person, is not Amar Abiyud Amarav. It's an unusual Kani lawyer, so I forgot about who. Somebody said the name of somebody else. So they quoted the both members that he said one after the other, even though they're totally unrelated. And the Bell says, no, that they are related. That this mandama says two things, that if you put Nechadik al Amalim Esrana, it's Loshol to the Enes, the Yad Yates, because you need to assume he needs her. The Hadore came on my, and I will Mahash Makrab in Yeshbo. So why did he put these two together? Because what did they think they were gained by putting them into the Bor? And so when Mahash Makrab into the entrance of the Bor is so deep, they didn't see the Mahash Makrab. It's just like if a bore is very deep, you don't notice what they took. And if Hanukkah is very cool, you don't notice. The people look ahead. They don't look down, they don't look up. The hangers look down. You should go and look up. You know, people are daydreaming. Look up. And normal people look, in Echel, Yabitu, how did the Gemara say in Rabban? People look ahead straight ahead. Normal people look straight ahead. Yeah?
The word is Shabbat Bahia is that people don't look up if they can't see.
Right.
So when you first meet with it, you look interested. No, they couldn't see it, so they didn't look.
Good time, yeah? The Ramban doesn't say that they didn't see the snakes. Ramban says that the snakes must have been in the crevices or in tunnels in the bor. He says the snakes weren't there running around the bottom of the bor. Ramban assumes that they would have seen it. He says they were in tunnels or in crevices in the bor. Chorin is often. Origin is grammar, right? Grammar season. Push him over a cliff? That's the Ritzich of Yadayim. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says not. He says by a Rodei who is actively engaged in Yadif and not by the Master, B'Shas Mestiri, you can kill him Yadayim. Mamasha write it right now. But if he's a Master, Al Shem Ha'atzir, he plans to be a Master. He plans to do Mestiri. But right now he's not actively engaged in Mestiri. So the Rishon in the Shul quotes the name of the Rav that you're not permitted to do Ritzicha B'Yadayim. I think it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. So I'm saying I think it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Chayshim Mishpah. I think it says it's only Maridin and not B'Yadayim.
Is it true in there? He says it
was 20 hours and he
break his leg.
Then how did
they get
him there? They lowered him out of ladder, I guess, and then he took the ladder out. I don't know. Don't know. The Medrash comments on the Torah, "Vayishma Reuven by Yatzilehem Yodam," and then it says that the reason Reman Hafil Osam Yodam LaHashivo Al Aviv, that the Torah writes that his intention was to do a bar mitzvah. The Torah is mafarsing. The Baruch Hashem writes in the Chumash when a person does a davar toiv. But then the Medrash on Megillah proves that it's saying by Boaz that he did one toiv. The Sukkim and the Farsim him, and the Medrash says that the Gman Hazeh, that the Chumash is already completed, and the Navi is already, all the whole Tanakh is already Tepta Chassim and Tanakh. So who's going to record the great 19th century that people do? So the Rebbe Shem suggested Ariyah not be recorded, and the Melech HaMashiach and the Rebbe Shlom are placed in Al Yoga. A strange message. What's the significance of that? So all the Darshanim say that what the Medrash means to say is that a lot of times people have to do it by mitzvah, and they don't realize the lasting value of that mitzvah. They don't realize how important that mitzvah is going to turn out to be. Like over here, that he really saved Yosef's life, and then Yosef went to Mitzrayim, and that led to the whole struggle of Mitzrayim, and then everything that followed that. That was a major link in the history of the Jewish people, this story over here. And the same thing, Boaz, that he was the carry of Rutham Al-Aviyah, there's also a major link in the history of the Jewish people, that that's when Malchus Lizdor came out and saw. So the Medrash said, Medrash encourages us also to realize that, that's how all the Darshan, Medrash encourages us to realize that we shouldn't think that when we do a double study, they wrote up in the newspapers, 200,000 people went to Washington. Doesn't say your name, doesn't say your name. Let's say a lot of people went to Washington. Shouldn't feel as if, what I did doesn't count. What you did can count a lot. It could be that your participation, and that's my mitzvah, on the assumption that it was our mitzvah, was a major step in the history of the world, and the history of the Jewish people. And the Rebbe said that you shouldn't think that actions that are done with Tzedakah go to Batolah, doesn't go to Batolah. And we all know, he writes it down, he goes to the Melech HaMashiach, and the Melech HaMashiach, and the Melech HaMashiach, it's going to go down in history. History will be made.
What was the main thing?
The other brother felt he had to be in his way. Reuben thought that he didn't. The Reuben really wanted to save him.
This is not focused
on the brother. And he went back to right. Obviously. But he said that.
So therefore, even Reuben would have to save them.
Well, the Om Dominion. If he had a Bezdin and Om Dominion, then even the Leos had to follow the tribe. But it wasn't the Bezdin and Om Dominion. They just had him up like it. There were only nine. The Medrash says that the tenth one involved in the Cherem was the Shechina himself. Reuben was around at the time that he called it. And the Medrash says the famous, the Tanchuma says, that's also called Malach, and they were there. Because when you make a Cherem, you have to have a minion of 10 people. So who is the tenth one over here? He came in the Tzad Yosef. He wasn't interested in making a Cherem against King Megala. So the Rashi told Medrash, the Megala is in the Tzad Yosef. The Melon should be in the Megala. Nine were Kenegah, the nine Shrokim. The tenth one was Kenegah Rakhari Shrokim. That's how one of the Darshanim said on the Tassi at the end of Kodesh Vayikra. Yeah, the Chamaisa Baka was saying Kodesh Yara Tachat Hashara Tachiri Yi Kodesh Vashem. That's how some say that this is the Rashi Tehdi. The Chamaisa Baka was saying this is the Rashi Tehdi. Zuchi Loma Meis Akiv Shahoye Rowe at Baka Vatsom. Kodesh Yara Tachat Hashara The Torah of the Malchus is supposed to be Tachat HaShavah, each one of the Tanoim is supposed to be connected to Shevet. There were only nine Shvatim involved. But how come there were 10 Harugim Malchus? The answer is given, HaShiri, Yih HaKadosh Lashem, and the people were connected to Shechina. He was the 10th one. Shechina was the 10th one in making the hair. I wish they could have made a Shkriya from the Meishah. For Meishah, the Bokeh is the Rosh Hashem. For Meishah, the Rosh Hashem. The Chi Lama Meishah Kiva, Shehoi Yeroah Bokeh Vashem. The Talmud is that there are Rabbeinu Bechaya, and these parshiyos quotes on this parsha by Yeshu, quotes from Kabbalah stories that Medrash, that the Torah and the Malchus were killed because of the selling of Yeshu.
What about that story
But the Midrashim do say, that doesn't say in the Medrash that they were all ten together. That doesn't say, that says in the field. But in the Midrashim it says that there are other mountains.
These are the
fields
in the field. Fields are the fields. Fields are the
fields. Okay, so. Anyway, there are slight inaccuracies there, but the basic theme appears in very old Midrashim. The Gemara in the first verse of Sanhedrin condemns Yehuda. He says, "Ma betza kinar b'sachim." He says the lashon "Ma betza." The Gemara calls the pasuk, "But say a beirah, Hashem." That whoever prayed with Yehuda, that he said "Ma betza," he saved the earth's life. But they have Beirat, one is Mubarak of Boteh, and Yehuda, Yehuda Hashem, that's not proper. You're not supposed to give a blessing to the one who had in his power to solve the whole problem, and instead he made a compromise. You're not supposed to compromise. Sometimes you have no prayer, you have to compromise. But people are listening to you, so why should you compromise? Insist on having the thing fully done the right way. In politics, a lot of times, the Mizrahi makes compromises in Israel. So sometimes if they wouldn't compromise, they would lose war, or sometimes if they wouldn't compromise, they would gain war. So whenever they're going to gain war, so why do they compromise? Because people have had kindness against the Mizrahi for a long time. Sometimes they have no prayer. If you won't compromise, you lose war. Compromise. But over here, the Gemara understands that Yehuda had such clout by the brothers, they would have listened to whatever he said. He was respected as a miller. So what do you have to say? Now, that's the Kanari Tachino, the Kubinim Karen. If you're in charge, should say, forget about the whole thing, we'll free him, and we'll just give Musa. We'll straight them out. Pasuk says that when he brought the son of Tassim back to the father, he did free him. So the Kavash Lehmi quotes a memory that in this Pasuk we see that you have an obligation, you did free him. The Gemara doesn't want to happen, you see. The Gemara learned without my talk to some other students. He's there from us to drum over Lord Tamusu. The Gemara says, he's there from us to drum over Lord Tamusu, that the Bnei Aram, no one should rip free for the Bnei Aram, but if you don't rip free for someone else, then Wachai meets the Deshemai. Most of the Rishonim assume that that's only an asmachta, the Kriya is only the Rabbanon. And others, the Rosh, of course, others hold no, that Kriya really isn't their right. The Gemara really means, like the voice of Rabbi Elos and Musa, that Kriya is really the right. The Medrash comments on this post, that there is a din of Kriya. I stop all over now, Yom and Rabbi, he observed Al-Bailu. Not only he observed Al-Bailu. Rashi quotes the Medrash of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was observing how they Vayeh also Oviv. So the Pasuk Shat is Vayeh also Oviv. Yankiv is crying about Yosef. Vayeh also Oviv. His father, Yaakov, was crying about him. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that it doesn't mean that. Oviv shall Yaakov was crying with him, not about him. Vayeh also means Vayeh Kito. So Yitzchak was crying with Yaakov, even though Yitzchak knew the truth.
Maybe that's why he was crying. Just to put it back on Yosef, Yitzchak was crying to Yaakov. They couldn't tell him that he knew that Yosef had given a large for the marriage, they had made a hero.
So he's binding it on everybody. The hero was not a puppet, so you see from his puppet that the hero was binding even on the people who weren't there. Because Reuben wasn't there when they made a hero. Otherwise, you didn't have to be the Tzar Tishkin. Reuben wasn't there, it was a hero. And Yitzchak wasn't there. Until the camera was binding on everybody. When you have the minion who are authorized. Who authorized them? I don't know. But if you have the minion who are authorized, then with that minion of 10 guys make a harem, no one's allowed to go to Rav Ashef's place. So I don't know if that would be authorized. I don't know if that's binding. Maybe it's not binding.
Well, what gives you the chance to offer something to somebody else?
I don't know.
If you want to make a harem on yourself, that's fine.
Yeah.
I had
Ramban has at the end of the Chumash Vayikra, Tachere Mashiachim and Harbi Vayipadah, so the Ramban HaChumash writes, and Ramban has a little country that's called Mishpat HaFeirim, that in that part that we learn out, that the Melech, or the Sanhedrin, have the authority and the power to institute HaFeirim that should be binding on all of the community. So apparently here, since Yehuda was involved, Yehuda had to be Melech. I don't know, Rishchina went along with them. Rishchina wasn't really interested in this thing. Rishchina was a tourist of the Midian. Rishchina was walking down the block and they said, you need a tenth person to the Midian. Came in and was tourist of the Midian. He did him a favor. Rishchina wasn't really interested in this whole deal over there.
Let's say when someone else has to go to the camp, they can tell they only have 9 people.
Yeah.
They didn't start the chain.
I don't know.
They have to be on the...
Don't know.
understand where that he's a lot. But he didn't want to violate the Heder either. He never told the father that he was alive. The father found out later, but then he never told the father that he sold him. The whole story. So he never told him any of the story. Right? That's what Rashi told him. But he didn't tell so long. How did the brothers tell?
Yeah, it's 22 years.
I guess the brothers were matter the chair. The din is that whoever made the chair has the power to be matter the chair. The end of my cousin that if a person is observing Avelus for a relative who died, so his relatives who would have observed Avelus if he would have died have to observe Avelus with him, Tito Babayis, the funnel, when they're in the same house with him. Shalai the funnel, when they're not in the same house, they don't have it. I saw the Rabid Hazar and the Rabbi Shava both have the same comments on this cousin. Bayev Kosa Obi, that the Medrash interprets by Yev of it so obvi that Yitzchak was crying along with Yaakov, by Yev Kosa means by Yev Kito, not like the simple pshat that Yaakov was crying about Yosef, but that is that Yitzchak was crying with Yaakov. So why with Yaakov? Because of that din of the Gemara. It's called a Mesabah Lol and Mesabah Lina. There are more right than here today that we don't observe this din anymore, this man again. We've done away with this person. We don't observe that. And it gives you a whole rationale, because the whole reason why Kol Shem Esav L'mol and Esav L'mimo is Mishum Kvodo Shel HaOvel. We assume as man hazeh that the Adolam are working on that COVID, that they don't get COVID, that they got this with Shiva Ben Esav. And from us on that COVID, they're not going to put it.
Wouldn't
it be sort of sacrilege? Yes, if the whole thing is covered, so Yaakov should show color to Yitzchak. No, if Yaakov would die, Yitzchak would have to sit Shiva before Yaakov. There's more than whoever I would have to be in the Sabbath before, if he would die, so if he's sitting Shiva for a relative of his, we have to observe Shiva in his presence.
We're saying that Yitzchak can do something because that is not
true. And observe Avelus in the presence of Yaakov. Yaakov is observing Avelus. The Yitzchak has
covered
his son. Yeah, and it was covered up the one who's observing Avelus. Any relative for whom I would have to observe Avelus if he were to die, even if he didn't die, but he's observing Avelus. The Gemara says, "Kol she nisabli malah, nisabli imo," when he's observing Avelus with someone else.
Right, if it works one way, where you'll decide to follow.
It's another idea of Kibbutz. Cover that bridge. Another aspect of coming
up.
Imo Babayis, right. The funnel. Right, so that's Vayev, also all of him is Vayev Kito. So he only observed Avelus, Yitzchak only observed Avelus when he was in the presence of Yaakov. That's how they both comment, the Rabid Hazahar and the Rabbi Shalom. They both comment on this Pasuk the same way. The Pasuk says later that Yehuda had two sons, he had Er, then he had Oinon. There's a Targum Yehudson over here that they are trying to make a big fuss about. Targum Yehudson says, why did they call the baby Oinon? Because they knew that he was going to die and they were going to observe Aminus, Avelus for him. But Er died before him. So why didn't they call the first child Oinon? Why did they call the second child Oinon? So they quote in the name of Rav Zalman of Valozhina, the brother of Rav Chaim Valozhina. He was the one who shots by heart. And when the woman got to remember the Lashon HaGemara, he asked Rav Zalman what he said anymore. He knew shots better than his brother. And the biography was called Told the Southern, but the Achaim sometimes quote that. Rav Zalman of Valozhina suggested that the pshat in this Targum Yemesin is that on the first child you don't observe Averus. There's a Ramor, the other day, and Hilchos Averus quotes such a far out minute from the Kufus HaRishayim. From the Baal HaTosfos, they had a minute that if a person had a few children and the first child died, so they wouldn't observe Averus, but they considered it as if it's not their child. The first child is Kodesh Hashem, belongs to the Baruchim. So the only observe Averus if the second child dies or if they. He suggested, Zamal of Alohim suggested that maybe that's the kavanah behind this. And then the Ramah says that it's a minute curse, a minute shtus, and it has no mocker, and you shouldn't follow such a minute. It's connected like this. It is my question. So where did it come from? Where did it come from? Plata toys. So they, so Zamal of Alohim says it's the Tagim Anderson here that he called the second child Einan. Because they knew he was going to ultimately die, they would have to observe a mourning period to him. So why didn't they call the first one Einan? Because the first one, you don't observe our daily strength. The third Nima writes in Chumash that it's against the Gemara of the Ferish. The Gemara is the Ferish against it. Because the Gemara says, by a Chor getting Pishnah, it's like, Tihu Reishi Sano, Lo Mishpat HaKhoro. The Gemara says, the Chor Habo La'acha Misas Nefolim, Chor Habo La'acha Nefolim, gets Pishnah. Let's say if a woman gives birth, a woman is pregnant, and then she has a miscarriage. And then she has a baby boy later. So that baby boy doesn't have to have a baby not there. If the first pregnancy was a pregnancy of more than 40 days, if it was a pregnancy of less than 40 days, she had a miscarriage before 40 days, so the Gemara considered that might be Alma. So the second baby could be born as really the first one. The first one didn't count at all. But if the first pregnancy was more than 40 days, then it's considered a lot, and then there's no picking up there for the second pregnancy. So would the second child, if it turns out to be a boy, would the second child get Pishnai? Because the laws of Pishnai are not necessarily identical with the laws of Pidyon Ben. Right? Right. Depends on the father, doesn't depend on the mother. It's right away different. It's right away different. And then the Mishnah says the Ferikesh Bechor. In the end of Masechet Chor, it says they're not calling the other day. You can have sometimes the Yesh Chor of the Pidyon Ben, and you're not calling the Akhna, the Yesh Chor of the Akhna, and you're not calling the Pidyon Ben. So the Gemara says the Yesh Nerchon, and the Chor Havol, Akhna Kolim, gets Pishnai. How does the Gemara know it? Because the Pasuk says, "Who reishis ano? Lo mishpat ha'chora." What do you mean, reishis ano? The Gemara says, "Reishis ani nusa, mishaliba dava olam." The first one that was a miscarriage, there wasn't no avelus for. If the baby is stillborn, so there's no avelus. So if it was a miscarriage, he was born before the kol hadasha, so there's no aninus, there's no avelus. So the Pasuk says, which firstborn son gets pishnayim? Reishis ano, reishis ani nusa. The one who was born kol hadasha. The one, if he were to die, they would have observed Avelus dance, and now that he didn't die, the father died, so the Kor gets Pishnayim. So the Kor Tzmimim says, he seems a foolish in the Pasuk that the Kor, if the Kor dies, the parents have to observe Avelus. That's how the Gemara Darshan's Reish and Son, or Reish and Son, and Nisa.
Maybe
that's
the
point.
But
the
mice, since the first one
has
closure
or
something,
the Gemara says they're normal things. The firstborn, you're the firstborn, so you're alive. Whatever it is, the firstborn son, if that firstborn son would have died, the parents would have observed Avelus to him. So now that he didn't die, so that son is the one who gets Krishna. You see that the parents observe Avelus, if the firstborn son died. I'm a foolish at Rosh Hashanah. But here, the Tagim Anderson sounds like he says otherwise. Tosfos points out that when Yehuda tells Tamar, Shvi Almana Beis Avich, what do you mean Beis Avich? Go back to your father's home. Her father was not alive anymore. How does Tosfos know her father was not alive? So Tosfos in Erevin writes, because Tamar was Bito Shal Shem. And it says in the Chumash when Shem died. You calculate the year. So by the time that Tamar was involved in, by the time he came to Parshas Vayeshev, Shem already died a long time ago. Whenever it was after Shem died.
Shem died.
It was very strange that she must have been a very, very old lady, this Tamar. A very strange shirach over here. 100 years older than her husband. So how did Tosfos know that Bita Shal Shem means literally the daughter of Shem? That means she was a descendant of Shem? So how do they know that that her father wasn't alive? So that's the Tosfos in Erev is right like that. That Tamar was Bita Shal Shem, and Shem had already died. The other Tosfos in Shas, in Kedushim, when he saw Shabbos, then a leaking type of Shabbat. Another place, the other place where they talk about it, they don't say she was beat or Shoshane and Shane had died. They just allude to the Gemara in Saito that when she was dressed up like a Kedesha and Yehuda wanted to be Mizana with her, so the Gemara has a whole lot of in Saito that Yehuda asks her, are you an Eshashish? So she says no. Then he asks, maybe your father was in Tabat Kedusha, but he says, my father's not alive. And the Gemara said the same, that she said her father's not alive. She was the Yisrael. So whatever it is, that's what Tesis says. Tesis says that Thomas' father is not alive. Nevertheless, he tells her, Shvi Amama Beis Avir. So how is it called Beis Avir? You see that Beis Avir doesn't mean literally your father's building, your father's house. Your family. Beis Avir means go back to your family. So Tesis says, well, here you see that when you write in the Ksuba, you write, Vedein Yudunya Da'anola Slemi Bei Avua. This is the value of all the property that the Kala brought into the marriage. When a girl gets married, so she has clothing and she has jewelry, and the father may have given her an automobile and an apartment in Shalim or whatever, the father gave an apartment in Queens, two apartments. Who knows? Whatever. So whatever the value of all of that property that she brings into the marriage is, that's called the Meduni. So you write the day and Meduni down all the slang day of war, and this is the value of all of the property that she brought into the marriage from her father's home. So our meaning is that if the girl has a father, they write in Dei Avua, and if the father is not alive, the girl will be pregnant, they write in Dei Nasha. Dei Nasha means a different thing. Ki Nashari ala ki Nitzkol HaMolik. That's how the Rabbi in the Bataille writes on Chumash. That Lashon in the Ksuba, the Dei Nasha is based on the person Ki Nashari ala ki to forget. And when a girl gets married, so she leaves her family, and she forgets about what's going on there by her parents. She's supposed to take care of her husband.
Yeah.
So how does Yehuda say Shvi Almana Beis Avich? There is no father. Her father had died already. The Tosafot says, you see, could be the father was still alive with your son. Natasha. Yeah, if you say that she was beat to Shoshen, so Shoshen died a long time ago. But if you say that, how do you know that she didn't have a father? Because the Gemara says, when you really want to be Mizana with her, then yes, maybe Shem, the people of the Kedushin, and she says, no, I'm not, my father's not alive, I'm a Yisrael. Maybe that was later, maybe at this time the father was alive. Natasha, but that's what Tosafot says. Tosafot assumes that at this time she had no father. Still, you literally refer to her family as Beis Avir. You see that the word Beis Avir doesn't literally mean your father's house. It means family. But Tosafot writes that even though our meaning is, Tosafot and Rabbi Lincoln writes that even though our meaning is that we write it next to the Tedin Dudin Dalar on the Bey Avua. Unless the father's not alive, then you write Bey Nasha. So Tosafot says, Nishgefela, because you write in the Bey Avua, even when the girl has no father, it's also okay. But yeah, but if you wrote it like that, it would be good. Or if you write in the Bey Nasha, when the girl does have a father. The evidence is also good. But that's the minute that Al-Hamkhili writes, writes in Bey Avu, if there is a father, and writes in Bey Nasha, if there's no father. Why didn't Yehuda encourage his son Shelah to be miyab in her? He said, Ki amar penyom is gam huk, Yaakov, he's afraid he's also going to die. So Rashi says, Mechazekas is new, the Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Reb Shimon Amiel, whether it betrays him, they have a chazal of the klazim. So the Gemara Yivonis at the end of Rabbi Yivim to say that he expects that it didn't katlan, it betrays him, they have a chazal. That's a simple interpretation of the Rashi. Mufzaka sees you, Shemus on Asher twice, so she's becheskas katlanis from twice.
So you don't think
people that's a deal in Rishonim, whether Gemara mitzvahs evil, you also have to worry about katlanis or not. Okay. He was wrong because they died because of their sins. Vayeri and Hashem, he didn't know that they had sinned and that's why they died. He thought that they died possibly because she was a katlanis, due to the fact that they married her. The Gemara has a machlokes what the whole katlanis is based on, what a magod or a mom. My young girl. The Rambam and the Tshuva writes that the whole thing is just superstition, that there is no such thing as this.
What?
Yeah, the Yehuda didn't know that. Yehuda didn't know that, Rashi holds. Yehuda didn't know that his sons had sinned. He thought that they were tzaddikim and they died in her school. And she was a katlan. And the pasuk says that he made a mistake. By Yerubin Hashem Shosa, by Yom Tamos. The guy just goes to his own sin. The Rambam sheet is the katlanis is not a real thing. It's just that people who are nervous, so there's more giving you the clothing when you have to, when is what to be nervous about and when not. But if you're not nervous, then just forget about the whole thing. The Chlomish Kingdom. That's what the Rambam says. But in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the generally accepted opinion against the Rambam that it is a din. And when a woman is a katlan, it is what the way is that. If a man is a katlan, that is no din.
Does that mean that he married somebody else, or
did
he just grew up? How did
she
know when he grew up?
I don't think it means that he married someone else. She just got the impression.
One day she decided, oh, now he's old enough, now.
She finally realized that he was just there for her cash, like the medicine. Yehuda promises to give the Zayna a nest on Zayna, and then later on he has to pay up. Has to make good and see from the pasuk that if a person is designed with a zayin and he promises to pay, then you got to pay. The Gemara says that's an actual Torah. If you look at Alima, that's a chiyuv. What's the chiyuv? Din of sirus payam. It's a din of sirus payam. The service is rendered. You got to pay. So if you agree that you're going to pay $1,000 for this act of nus, so the halacha says you have to pay. Unless you have a kamla v'derame. So then the Gemara has an actual Torah. If you look at Alima, whatever that means. Whether it's canceled with Kamla Vidam, but without Kamla Vidam, it's a regular din of students.
Wasn't this before Matthew coming from Matthew? That was condition, and then goes to the Kedushin, and then goes to the Kedushin.
So
it's not a matter of
saying. It's a meanless Shem Kedushin,
but
here
we're going to say. I was saying that, that's why you would have with this day, she was somewhere, was going to Havata was Mutta, except for the fact that she was done.
Havata was Mutta, yeah?
No, so it's been within Kedushin. I mean,
was it within Kedushin? If he wants to do the Shem Kiddushin, he can do the Shem Kiddushin. Wants to do the Shem Zlus, it'll be the Shem Zlus. The Pasha Pshat was that he was the Shem Zlus. He was paying her. He was going to give her an Esnan Zayna. The Pasha says, Vahikim Mishlosh Chadosh, Vahikim Luhu Dalema Zom Satama Kalotecha. So the Gemara need to quote this Pasha, that Hakkorah Sa'uber is after 3 months. The Gemara says, Halacha Lamaisim. That a Mu'beris is considered a Mishalaka Zamin, she doesn't have to observe all the regular Hilchatina that all other women observe. There are slight differences. So when is she considered Mu'beris? Let's say she took a pregnancy test, she knows she's pregnant for 2 days, so she's already considered a Mu'beris. But the Gemara says, 3 months. Maybe that's only Bismarck's mother that didn't have pregnancy tests. Maybe Bismarck said that she had a pregnancy test, so she's considered Mishalaka Zamin earlier. So that's what some claim that it's so. I didn't think that it was so. Maybe she's eating more potato chips than she should. Sometimes women are fat and sometimes women are pregnant. How do you know? Did you feel movement? Then you know, if you feel a baby jumping around, so obviously it's not the potato chip. That's not in the second month, it's not in the third month, that's later. That's 5 months, it's later. But in 3 months, we assume that the woman is not eating potato chips, that she's really crazy. So that's the shaila. What about this man is there? If you get to Hilchus Nidah, you get to the Tanesim. The thing is that on all the other Tanesim, aside from Tishbav and Yom Kippur, a Mubarak doesn't have to fare. Says the Rambam says the meaning is that they should pay. The Mikra writes in, it says they don't have to pay us because they have the status of a fellow Shemus Tatan. So when do they have that status? It says in Shulchan Aruch after 3 months. And what if they've ascertained earlier that they're pregnant? They say that she's already in Mubarak, so she doesn't have to pay. If anything, maybe you should say this man is that even after three months she should pay us. Because the women today, they take vitamin pills and they take iron pills and everything. They're very healthy. They're just as healthy whether they're pregnant or nursing as regular. Years ago, when a woman was pregnant, she was falling apart. When a woman was nursing, she was weak. The Mubarak and the Nikra continue to have a shame for them. But today, because they take, they supplement their diet with all kinds of vitamin pills and everything, maybe the whole thing of Kodesh and Sakana doesn't apply.
So therefore, I
think
spoken by today, since you can ask him that she's pregnant after 2 months, when the whole thing is
That's what some say, but the question is maybe not. Maybe the Gemara means to say that after 3 months of being pregnant, then her body cycle will change. It's not a question of ascertaining that she's pregnant. That's dependent long enough. Some women. Right? That shouldn't change. That may change over the years. That may change in different climates in different parts of the world. But that shouldn't change just because you've ascertained that the woman is pregnant earlier. Whether she's miscellaneous or not, it depends on how long she's pregnant. So the question is, you know, she has to be pregnant for 3 months.
Too much, she knows she's not anymore.
After
2 months, she knows something's wrong. And so
different. Different?
After 2 months,
she knows. No, the Gemara has a certain hilchos nida don't apply. Certain things don't apply. She has a riazan, so she becomes a nida deraisa, a regular nida. But if she doesn't have a riazan, then you don't have to be choishish for the yom haver.
If she doesn't
sit up,
there's no
distinction
at all.
I don't think so. She's Mitzvah Lekhazam, so there's no distinction. Why was Yehuda interested in killing her? Otsio v'sisore? What kind of a stock is that? A single girl, Ramad Ashur, is tightly, a strange thing. So the Balaturim, in the regular promotion, Balaturim quotes the Pshat from Rav Yehuda HaKosner. That it means that they'll burn something in her forehead, like the scarlet letter. Put letter A to represent the fact that she's an adulteress. And that's how he says, how pure the story, to burn a mark in her forehead that everybody should know that she was a Zohar. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says they're not really Zohar. The Gemara says that they're going to go to kill her. So the Gemara says they're not really Zohar. Why are they going to kill her? Because the Beis Din Shel Shem had already been going there. They had already been raised the years before. The Hashanah died also, but we don't know if there's a Chachanah and a Hashanah. So the Gemara says the Bezin Shal Shein had made a Gzeira of intermarriage, that you're not allowed to be Ghana with a non-Jewish person. So the Gemara understands that she probably must have converted. Toma must have converted in order to marry. She would have done there in order to marry Oina. So she had converted. And then, Who was she Mizana with? Must have been a guy. She wouldn't be Mizana with a Jew. But they said, "Help you understand something." And it sounded like, no, you think? Did you hear it? She wasn't Mizana with a guy. That's how the Mona Abed Azar understands over here. Help you understand something because she had violated the Xera Bezmish Hoshim. Right. Since you're the Pharisee, you might have been going to kill her to shoot though. So the question is, but why were they going to kill her? But the one other is on. That one is off saying that she was chayim and unrest because she violated the Gzeira Beis Din Shel Shem. I don't know.
So, of course,
really,
that's why
it wasn't
wasn't
yeah, but the Shaila, whether. Ooh, that was. I don't know. Koyim Matmatari is the Pishna, no? Maybe? I would have the same amount,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. That's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, Bezina Shoshim was Geyser and. I don't know. Apparently they knew that in their rice and they added on. Gemara says they added on, no? Gemara says the Yisra Derais is only the Farhesia. Yisra Derais is only the Farhesia. Gemara says that the Tina, the Tina Shal Shem was Goza. And then is that if you want to, you can even give an Einish Misa for an Avera the Rabban. Gemara says that there's the Makam Yonshin Shalom and Adin. The Gemara says that once upon a time a man rode on a horse on Shabbos, and the Bezin decided they wanted to give him Easter, so they gave him the Easter. The Gemara has a lamed vav on a day. Made him avodah zarah. We're talking about the whole thing of intermarriage. The Gemara says intermarriage is only there are customers. And the Dina Shal Shem is God in the reason there are views. The Gemara talks about Boil Aram is Sanhedrin, it's thinner. The Gemara says that the Dina Shal Hashmonai will go there. That's the Gemara. The Gemara appears in Sanhedrin also Pei, but it appears in also the whole Hampshire about intermarriage. The Medic Zera of Najgoa and Najgaz. The Medic Zera that if a man has an affair with a Shikhtah, he violates 40 Turim de Rabbanon. And there's two versions in the Gemara. What's the Rashi Tavis of the 40 Turim de Rabbanon? Is it Nun Shin Gimel Aleph or Nun Shin Gimel Zayin? Is it neither Shikha Goya Eishas Ish, if she happens to be married, if the Shikha is married, or is it neither Shikha Goya Zayin, if he happens to be a Kohen? Is it only violating Eishas Zayin? On a dreidel, it says Nun Gimel Heishin. I saw that David Cohen writes in his recent statement that he put out. It has a hashara. Nun Gimel Heishin, everybody knows it stands for Nesko Dol HaYosham. So he said, who's that? He thinks that maybe it was a Rashi Tavis that the Dinesh of Hashmonai was going there on Nashgo. Nun Shin Gimel Aleph. Sometimes you write hey instead of Aleph, he writes like the Gemara had a Rabbi Kiva. It's on the Bavli, it's spelled with an Aleph, and the Yishalmi Rabbi Kiva is always spelled with an Aleph. So he suggests that maybe the dreidel, or if he's on the dreidel, is the Xeris Nashgo. Maybe it has nothing to do with Nesh Gadol HaYosha. But that's the Gemara. The Gemara never did well. Lama Baba Lepay said that her Piyot is a story was because the Beis Din Shel Shem was going to the Yisrael de Rabbanon on intermarriage Shaloi B'derach Hasen. B'derach Hasen is Yisrael de Rabbanon. B'derach Luz is Yisrael de Rabbanon. The Yishalmi in the last parak in Kiddushin quotes this passage. V'hi b'lirik ha-vayitim yad v'tikah ha-miyaladit v'tik shol yod yishan ha-lem v'zei yotar yishayna. And then the Aledit was going to be their menace to say who is the Kohen with the Pasha. So the Gemara says in the last parak in Kiddushin that Chaya, that the Aledit is their menace to say who is born first, even if there was no one else there. And Yishalmi understands the process to imply that there was nobody else in the delivery room. Not that they had a minion of men standing around saying Tillim, and then the baby was born and they were all watching the baby. There were no men around. There was only this one woman, the midwife was there. And she tied on a string that she should remember. And she's going to be their menace. How is she their menace? Whatever it's relevant for, why should she be a menace? And Shalom says, we learn Anisha should not be a menace. If you want her to be, let's say, the Chaya, or like that, and I'm honest to say, who is the core for Tishnai purposes? Gizman HaTalmud. Who is the core for Tishnai? That's Mominus. You should need to wait for that. Tishnai is Mominus. There's one opinion that says it's really right that when he was younger, in the Yeshnath, like when he was younger, he was on the opinion based on Gemara that it's sufficient to take effort to get Yeshnath. And when he grew older, he realized that the Rashbam was right. The Rashbam says on Yeshnath, that he needs two ladies to ascertain who the story. But nonetheless, the Mialedis is Nemenis. So let's say to testify, a few women gave birth to children, and we don't know which one is a Kohen, which one is a lady, which one is Yisrael. There are five women and there are five babies. You don't know which baby to match up to which mother. So the Gemara says that the Aledit is Nemenis. So that should also be Dov Shabiyah, but that's the thing, who's a man, who's a Kohen, who's a lady. That should also be Mikra in Dov Shabiyah. Nevertheless, the Aledit is Nemenis. So Shiloh, why the Aledit is Nemenis? It's the Yeshua. And the last 13th edition has a spear between two runs. The run on this Gemara that Chaya and Nemenis lay out there. The Chaya says right away, who is the poor? The Chaya says, which one is the man, which one is the Kohen, which one is the Cholo? The Ran on this Gemara comments on this Gemara says it's a Takana de Rabban. The person is only an Asmach, it's not a real Binderai. The Ran in another place in Kiddushin, I think in the third place in Kiddushin, comments on a different Gemara, that when you say that you need two agents for Dovisha Bierbo, that's only when the testimony is coming to be Mishana de Hazoka. But whenever he's not coming to be Mishana de Hazoka, then an effort is believed. Let's say a father says, Kiddashtiya, speak to me, and he's going to be I remember I married my daughter-in-law, and I don't remember who the husband is. It was a long time ago, I don't remember who the husband is. And a man comes and he says, I'm the husband. Nobody knows, the father doesn't know, and the caller doesn't know, nobody remembers who the husband is. So he comes and he says, so the Gemara says that he's Nemo. The man comes to him, Nikirashtiya is beating me in a day, Nikirashtiya, who I have from Yama, Nikirashtiya is Nemo. So the wrong comment, how come he's Nemo? So Hadova should be Erva. Maybe she's someone else who's Rashi Sish, and he's doing his own Rashi. He says, no, it's not Kineged HaHazoka. If you say an Eishes Ish, the husband died, and she's no longer Eishes Ish, she says, single became an Eishes Ish, that's Dovah Shabiyarva. But I know that she's an Eishes Ish. I just don't know who the husband is. And then a fellow comes and he volunteers and he says, I am the husband. He says, Nikra Diniz Neman. That's what the Pei Yeshua asks us here in the Rai. So why do you say that the Chayit Neman is on the Kakon of the Rabbono? Should be good men are prayer. Because if not Kenegra Hazokas, you want to just ascertain who is the Mamzun, who is the Kohen, who is the Kohen. For the purpose of Tishnai, so that's Bakke, Kakon of the Rabbono. Because the Mamzun is always Nishnayim. But for the purpose of ascertaining who's a Kohen, and who's a Mamzun, who's a Kohen, who's the Yitzhak Kosh, and so on, why do you say that the Yuchsin is Dovish at the Erev and you need to raid him? But the kid was just born. So none of the five babies who were born have a Cheskos Kashus and a Cheskos Ksu. So why should you say that the Yechai should be in the Menes and Atei? That's the Pei Shuvah's Kashus. So the Yeshiva is a good Terutz, and why it's not the same? So I have to pay in Chal Hashem on the Gavra. There I know the woman is an Eishis Tisha. I don't know who the husband is. That's where the Rav says that effort is made. Here you have to pay in the Chal Hashem on the person. Maybe a man who's not. It's not Kenegar HaChazok, but still you're giving it. You've been covered what his matzav yeshiva is, what his personal status is. So that's the Ron Holmes, the Dovah should be answered. The Mechashim Mishpat, the Ramok quotes from the early Afrenim, I think the Tumas Adeshin or the Marik or one of those Afrenim. Yeah, whenever you have it in Torah, the meaning you have to have two kosher eidim and Noshim are part of the Lord. So what happens if one woman beat up another woman in the Ezra's Noshim? They start to let the Noshim. It's even the Shulchan Aruch used to have a women's head of the they didn't have the half separate seat, so the Tayyish arrived in the Shulchan Aruch. And the men, there are no men around to see. Obviously, the men can't see into the women's section.
They were very much.
But it could be that had men been there, they would have seen.
No. It says in the Ezra Noshe, it is possible for them to see. But there's a DNA link to see what's going on. Yet, Chiruf, that you do fit in the Beis HaKnesset, Shalom Noshe, and the other one is Shaykh. The greatest witnesses are women. So the Ramah quotes this Trumas Hadeshin or whoever it is, the Marik or somebody who said that whenever the situation is such that the only one who could have possibly been around was one who's possible, then that's included in the Takana de Rabbanah for the Chayan Amen. Because the Malach Gemar, the practice was that they only had women nurses, they only had women midwives, they didn't have a man midwife. I can imagine a midwife. But because the practice was that they only had women used to deliver the babies and there were never any men around, so the Chacham made a takana that women are not mona, because that's included in that takana is that whenever a hezek occurred in the Beis HaKnesset Shal Noshim, that the women would be not mona. So the Achrayim already spoke to Rabbi Yisrael Bengel has a shul about this, and others point out that the why should it be like over here? Apparently over here they use the normal practice is you only have one midwife. You don't have one. By the Mialeda, it's rare that you have more than one. But that's why the Chachamim will make that it's sufficient with one. By the Chirukim and the Gufim Beis HaKnesset Shal Noshim, so there it's common to have two women, but it's absolutely uncommon to have any men at all. So there we require two women. Whatever you would require by men, you will require by the women. We don't require Yishma Hakira by ages by men either, these men are good. The Gemara says that you need Yishma Hakira by the mothers and the Rabbanim are the way to go. So we wouldn't require it by the women either. So the Achrayim have about this. The Mishnah in the first parak in Bava Kama, where the Mishnah says, Shun Kesem Shavu Kesem Alpi Yehidim, Nekar, Nekrit, and so on. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah means to tell you that Goyim Apostle Eidim, and not Goyim Apostle Eidim, and you have it in third, but it has it. You have to have two kosher eidim. So the Rambam, both in the Pirush and the Shnayim, and in the Arach HaZor, they're right. What's that this over here? In Gan Shas, the Mishnah puts in the first parak in Bava Kama. It doesn't belong here. Why is it in Bava Kama? So the Rambam says, because normally, where the Hezekim happen? Shemregel, Karen, where do they happen? On a ranch, on a farm, we have Goyisha workers, you have Avodim working there. It doesn't happen in the Yeshiva, we have kosher eidim. Hezekim always occur. The Behemoth, Shemregel, the Boar, all these kind of things happen on the farm. And you have either Nachman working there, or you have Eved Klani working there. You don't have kosher eidim. So the Rambam says, Ma'ud Penny, you would have thought that since the Hezekim occurred in a place where it's not Shachat kosher eidim, So we should accept Suliyeg, it's a commercial one that you don't. So that's like the question, why don't you? If you tell me that Chiyuv Mitzvah makes a commercial notion, women are accepted, because of this Takana de Rabbanan by Chaya, Chaya Nemenes, why should it apply over there? We have to read this angle, has a tshuva, but Heter Aguni, thought the man was killed in the army, and the Russian army, whatever, and then the Russian government sent back a telegram to the woman that her husband was killed, and actually, how do they know? 100 Russian soldiers saw that he was killed, but there were no Jew. He was the only Jew there. All the others were going. But there are no Jews in the Russian army. All the Jews are sitting in the yeshiva, hiding or whatever. They were doing everything. There was only one Meshuggah, the Jew, who went to the army, and all the other people in the army were going. So the only one in Shaq to have around is a goy. And it wasn't Mitzvah Levi Tumer. Mara has in the end of the Bible, so I'm going to Mitzvah Levi Tumer. There was Mitzvah Levi Tumer. They knew that this was crucial for the woman to remarry, that she should know that her husband was. As a whole shuba heteraguna to be mevarav halacha, what the din is. If it's not shaykh, not kosher eidim, is there a takana de rabbana that you should accept kosher eidim or not? Here's the thing I'll have. Not that I want to have discussions on this thing. Master, I don't remember what reason. This is one smith. Rabbi Yezir Fengel, you can rely on. He'll give you 100 reasons. Whatever he wants to prove, he'll give 100 proofs that it's not true. The Rajboy, the Torah Safaik, has a comment on Sam Yeno. He says that if you take a grape that's not right yet, and you squeeze out the wine, so that's not considered wine, and if the guy handles it, he does not. How does he know? Because the prophet says, because the man, the guy had a dream over you. We know it from Martin Luther King's dream. The guy had got a problem. And then it's called him, that the grapes were fully ripened, and then he squeezed it out and he made wine. So you see that if it wouldn't have been a Shilashkalasaranovim, then it wouldn't be considered wine. Rabbi Hatam and Gittin, and Daf Laman Aleph comments, also obviously holds like that, but he just says it's hard to be makel on this halacha l'maaseh. But it's hard to know when it's baser, when it's not right, and when it is considered right. It's hard to draw the line, but theoretically there is such a thing. So they hate to quote in the name of the Shalom, that based on this process you see that the Kovat is the way to hold the Becher is, where can it occur to Akaf Parah? He says when you make Kiddush, that's for the Chesidah, make Kiddush in there, or when the Bench is Samadhi, that's what the Behater is, and when the Bech Samadhi. When the Bench Alakos, instead of holding the cross like this, so the Behater says you should hold the cross like this. On the Kaf, or Kaf Parah. So there's a machloek, then the behavior has a machloek. Should you hold it on the fingers or should you hold it on the cap and have the fingers go up? A detailed machloek is among the kubob. You learn it because it's the way to do it. Then the Rebbe on Gov has a comment on this pasuk. He quotes the Gemara Menachos Daf Tet. So the Gemara says when they get to Kohanim, when they come to Avodah Sakrapanus of Vayikra, Kalmokum Shenema Kav, Ein Ha'el Yimin. You see, where from a Shakur of Tav Paro, you see that the Kodesh this way, the Holy Cross is the Min. And that's the Mokka for the Gemara, that the Gemara has in Gochus Akeda, that you have to hold the Kodesh to the Min. The Gemara has that they had a Shiloh for generations, what's the Din of Small Masha to say, yeah, the Min. What if you're going to hold the Becher in your right hand? The guy's a little nervous, he came to shake you, if you're going to hold the Becher, the person says to hold his right hand with the left hand like this, to hold the Kodesh, that's okay. But to hold the Becher with the left hand, it says that somehow it's such a serious shaila that we have no way to resolve it, and we're not allowed to be makel on that. So I find them all asked why. The Gemara says that you have Zayachal and Zayachal, so the Zayachal is Ebo Mamish, Misayel Ebo Mamish. So what's wrong? Small Mamish, Misayel Emin. You can hold your hand from today for next year. Let's say there's a Becher suspended in midair. You hold your hand like this, it's not going to be suspended for too long. I hold the Becher like this, and you put your hand like this, and I let go, the Becher's going to fall down right away. And if I'm holding on to the Becher like this, and I take away the hand, the Becher's still going to hold. It's going to shake a little bit. I'm nervous. So that's stuff in the Sayyaya. Small Mashiach Sayyaya Lemon. So I'm praying that Takash. Why does the Gemara say that you go to Chumre? Say something in Gemara Shem, because Shubim is Sayyaya Evo Man. So Shubim Mutter. Shubim Mutter. So they don't know exactly the answer. But the Rehid Azar says the whole Mokka, the whole story is based on this process. That Kol Mokka Shalem Akkab. It refers to small. Had an interesting comment on the pasuk earlier that they were about to kill Tamar. The Rebbe Azov had to come. They were going to kill Tamar even though she was pregnant. There was a mission at the end of the first Perek in Erechim that if a woman is Chayav Nisa and she's pregnant, So they kill her, even though they don't kill Yugrof, unless Yashva Ramashbi, unless she's in labor, but then on Kimon Lan Shetelet. But if she's not in labor, then you don't wait until she's about to give birth. So the Moriah Tekash on the Mishneh, that if she's not yet holding by labor, you kill the woman with the Yugrof, make more Pshita. So they more contact the whole Havamina. Why? I would have thought that you should wait, because if you don't give the blood, you see that the blood belongs to the husband, so it shouldn't be mafsid the blood. But the problem of killing the Uber unnecessarily, that didn't bother the Gemara keepers there. That's the problem with the made blood, it's the Zariah, that it's Mamona the Baal, and she waited not to be Mafsi the Baal the moment. So the Rebbe Rav Zalbe asked, why was it cheated to the Gemara? Before they knew the Mafkana, Vamesu Gamshne and Gamarabas Avlad, Rasha Chumash quotes that Rosh from the Gemara there, from Davor, Gamarabas Avlad, before they quoted that Rosh, how did they know that it was cheated? He says, because the prophet can say, etc. But they knew that she was pregnant and they were willing to kill her anyway with the Uber. I'm going to kill her with the Uber. Then he goes into the dissertation. Why is it so? Because they run a trade with the Anachulam, it will be Yerachima. It is the Marisi, it is the Fatima, it will be Yerachima. He goes into a slight discussion on the Hilchos abortion over here. Is the Shailen Din, for the celebrating birthdays, is the Chukas HaGoy, because it says the power celebrated is God. Some say that Glacier is that Glacier is God, that Jews don't celebrate that. Other people don't agree. The Medrash has the Rajbam and Arvid Stoff and Kofi Yishami has two Makaris for the Tachana the Rabbana on Abagra Praises. And one of the Makaris is the fact that it was cursed four times. Also in the Tachana the Rabbana it says the word cursed four times. The other Mandana says Kenega Dalas Gulois. Why it says cursed five times is somehow the Torah has a Shaila with the five curses. The Shaila is the five Gulois also. They themselves were not going to count to their days. Here there's also the four, but there's a fifth one. Here also, they decided whether you count the fifth one or you don't count the fifth one. Now the story about Ablazer Telza. He was a very sick man, and the doctors told him that he's not allowed to travel around, but he had to raise money for the sheep. But he didn't listen to the doctors, and he went to England to raise some money, and nobody gave him any money. He died from a heart attack in England. He was buried there. He was buried in England. And the relatives hardly ever go. He tells him they hardly ever go to visit his case, because nobody ever has to be cursed by England. Very irritating. So when he died, nobody in England knew how to say it. So Rav Hillman happened to be there. That was the father-in-law of Herzog. He wrote this poem, Mor HaYosha, on the famous Amshad. It's about 6 years volumes. It's done, originally printed in around 35 volumes. And then they condensed them and they put them into 6 volumes. Mar Mikremis HaShazbam, Yisham, this is the first Yitem Mekut, Rambam, Mar Mikremis HaNavim. But he had learned in the Talvi Yeshiva, so he said a Hesed. So he said on the Pasuk over here, Ki Gunov Gun, it was Parshat Vayeshu, when the Levi was, when they buried him. So he said, Ki Gunov Gun up in the Eretz Yisrael, in Lithuania, was where all the big Yeshivas were. In England there was nothing doing then. At the time they came before the war, there was no Yiddish guy to do. He said he left the Mekonis HaTorah where all Jews lived. He left Lithuania. The Gampoli Osisi Miumo, and I didn't make any money either. Nobody gave me any money. And now Kisamo Osisi Babor, now they're going to bury me in the ground. They're going to bury me here. That was his closing line in his text. So the Balabatma thought that it was such a Givaldi Gehesta that he said, and ended up with such a big knock. So they appointed him a dying in London at that time. Before he was dying, he was an unknown figure. He was dying, I think, in Leeds. I read, forgot which one. In his farm, he writes in his farm where he was. And after this Hesed, he was there. He liked this Hesed so much, this is what got in the shtetl. He used to tell it over years later. The Rabbi Ram, every year, tells over that story. Rabbi Ram is Kodam Chavrusa with him in Eretz Yisrael. What's the connection between the Haftarah and the Sedra? So the simple connection is the first part. The first part is Amicham Baket, it started, the Eliyam Babu Na'aloy, that the magistrate of the Sov Yosef, and they took 20 coins and they bought shoes with it. That's what the Medrash said. But there's another Medrash that says that the connection is based on a later process. After the prophet says, Welcome to the Nehri Yerubim and Bacharech and Minazirim, and it says that Yosef was in Zir Echol. So there's a Parshas Vayechi. So there's a Machloikis and a Medrash. What does that mean, Zir Echol? He was separated from the brothers for so many years and Zir means that greater? Oh no, he was really a non-Zir. So there's the second mandam in the Medrash says that Yosef, in the day he separated from the brothers, was Makabal Mizirus not to drink wine. The brothers were Makabal upon themselves not to drink wine because they felt a little guilty. Why they just told Yosef? Yosef was Makabal on Mizirus.